Now, folks, this may come as a complete shock to you, but you cannot believe everything you read or see on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, or even your local newspaper. Would you like to know some of the red flags to look for that can quickly give you clues about the reliability of an article? That's what I want to talk about today. Hi, folks. This is Brad Bright, and this is the God is the Issue podcast, where we show how God is the issue in every issue. You see, last week, Fox News ran an article by Tim Scheiterer. I think that's how you pronounce his name. It was about Wheaton College, and frankly, folks, the article is a piece of trash. It was nothing more than a gossip column. Unfortunately, a lot of news today is exactly that. Now, I graduated from Wheaton College, but I'm not one of their biggest fans. However, I'm not their enemy either. I try to see myself. I try to behave in a fair-minded manner. Now then, let me say this before we jump into this. Too often, Christians fall for outright lies and salacious half-truths and then forward them on as truth. Why? Because we're incredibly gullible. Let's admit it. We are. Why are we incredibly gullible? Because we tend to assume that people are truth tellers. Do you really think that's wise in a secular, godless culture? You see, Jesus said we're to be shrewd as snakes. If everybody's a truth teller, why do we have to be shrewd as snakes? Folks, my goal today is not to trash the reporter who wrote the article, but to use the article as a platform to help Christians ask better questions about what they read in the news every day. You know, during the 80s when I was in politics, I often knew the background. I knew the facts behind stories that would be written about in the newspaper. Over 50% of the time, those articles were in error factually. Folks, that doesn't include any additional bias, slant, innuendo, or spin. Just the facts alone. Today, with the speed of the news cycle, it's even worse. Now, I'm going to start by talking briefly about some of my experiences at Wheaton College so you know, one, where I'm coming from, and two, so it can begin to put this article in context. After that, I'm going to give you four questions you can use with the Fox article or any other article. Now, three of them are general questions you really can use with any article. The fourth one, although it can be applied to many articles, it can't be applied to every article. Now then, full disclosure. My time at Wheaton, my 4 years at Wheaton College, were very mixed. I got a parasite in the Soviet Union, had to drop out for 2 years. Fortunately, they let me back in, and for that, I'm grateful. Now, I got sideways with many of my professors by my senior year because I openly challenged them in class. Now, I had six other friends who were doing the same thing in their classes. We were all sick and tired of all the cow poop in the classroom. Actually, we kind of had fun with it. But that may be telling you more about myself than I should, but all well. Now then, there are two types of professors that we would openly challenge. The first were professors who were clearly incompetent. The second were professors who violated the statement of faith that they signed every year at Wheaton, and they still do. Let me give you some examples. I had an economics professor who one day said, raising taxes is not going to be disincentive to production. I said, sir, you know, the 2 years I was out of college, I worked construction. And I refused to work overtime. I said, you know why? Because as a single man without a wife or kids or houses, that means without any deductions, it wasn't worth the effort to put in the extra time. And here was his response. I kid you not. He said, I guess I've just never made that much money. Folks, in the years since, I think I figured out why he hasn't. Now, on the other hand, I had a political science professor. And I remember one day he said, we should disarm unilaterally and take that money to plant poppies in the desert. At first, I thought he was kidding. And then I realized, no, he's dead serious. And then I had a sociology professor who said, the best economic system in the world known to man is a zero growth economy. Just a basic understanding of economic history. And you know that the economies where there's the least amount of growth are also the economies where there's the greatest gap between rich and poor. This guy was strictly incompetent. But then there was a Bible professor who disregarded the statement of faith that he had signed. And he was teaching things in his classroom that were contrary to the statement of faith. And folks, that's an integrity problem. That's not a competency problem. That's an integrity problem. Then there was another professor who taught what was called the Hunger Program. The motto of the Hunger Program was live simply so that others can simply live. Sounds like a great motto, doesn't it? It is a great motto. However, they used it to inflict blunt force trauma. Here was the mentality behind it. If you don't feed the poor, we doubt you're even a Christian. I remember a dear, dear friend of mine at Wheaton. He took a year off college and went over to Thailand for a year there to work in the refugee camps. And he wasn't just working in the refugee camps. He lived with the refugees because he was trying to minister to them. Halfway through, he got sick. He got hepatitis and typhoid a month apart, had to come home and recover. Well, the next fall when he returned to Wheaton, a friend of ours, we both knew, walked up to Ken. And Ken was wearing a leather jacket. Nice leather jacket. And the first thing out of this guy's mouth, a guy who had been a friend, was, "Way to live simply so that others can simply live, Ken." Ken had been giving his lifeblood for over a year in this refugee camp in Thailand. And those were the first words out of this guy's mouth. You see, folks, it's what I came to call guilt trip theology. It appeals to guilt, not compassion. It's just like the term white privilege today. It's an appeal to guilt. Both of them try to manipulate you by guilting you. Now then, on the positive side, I was president of College Republicans my junior year. We brought Ronald Reagan to campus. And understand, that was when I was still a very, very loyal Republican. Now, to this day, I still love and admire Ronald Reagan. But that was a wonderful experience as a young man. I had another professor. He was a writing professor, a journalism professor. His name was Paul Frommer. And I remember in his class, he was the most demanding professor I ever had. He demanded perfection. You know, we'd bring our papers in, and he'd put them on the surface here, and he'd kick them up onto the screen back behind so everybody could see it. He'd take out his red pen and start marking them up. I'll tell you what, you had to have thick skin to make it through his class. But if you did, he taught you how to write. If he were still alive and teaching today, I'd go back and take a refresher course to get rid of all the bad habits that I'm sure I'm developed in the years since then. But here is the ultimate moment for me years later. Is when my dad turned to me, I gave him a piece I had written. My dad turned to me, he said, "Where on earth did you learn to write?" And I said, "In college." You see, I owe a huge debt of gratitude to Paul Frommer and Wheaton College for that. I learned to write, to communicate at Wheaton. In addition, I had some great friends who loved Jesus. I had some really smart friends who in the evenings we'd sit around and really dissect what had been taught in the classroom that day. We'd dissect it, evaluate it. By the time we were done, we'd poked holes all through it. We knew all the flaws and the arguments. And of course, we'd go back in the classroom the next day, loaded for bear. It was a lot of fun, frankly. Now then, Wheaton College was not perfect then. It is not perfect today. But this article that I referred to earlier in the podcast is a pure gossip column. It's sloppy journalism. It is trash. Matthew 10:16 says, "Be as shrewd as serpents, but as innocent as doves." So folks, let me give you a few tips you can use on almost any article. And it's for what I would say is shrewd questions you can ask when you read a news article. Now, I'm not going to bore you by going back and reading through the original article. I'm simply going to use the article as a jumping off point to ask some helpful questions that you can use. If you want to, you can go back and read the article for yourself. But if you do, I suggest you also read the response to the article. Okay, here is the first question. What do I know about this reporter? What do I know about this reporter? You need to start getting familiar with the reporters that you get your news from. Not just the ones you see on TV, but the ones that you read as well. Each time you read an article, intentionally take note of who wrote it. Let me ask you a question. Of all the articles you've read in the last week or two, Can you name the person of the name? Can you give me the name of even one person who wrote one of the articles? You see, we need to get familiar with the reporters we're getting our news from. Now, in this specific case, meaning the Wheaton article, apparently the reporter claimed to be a writer for the Wall Street Journal the first time he called Wheaton for information. Now then, he made that claim in writing in the form of a text. When later pressed on the issue, he admitted that he was actually a freelance reporter. Now, this tells me two things. First, that truth-telling is not this reporter's highest value. Secondly, that he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You see, only an idiot puts lies in prints, because you can be held accountable for them then. So, once I know this information, I must question the veracity of everything such a reporter writes. If I don't, then I'm the idiot. Secondly, here's the second question asked. Does the reporter provide sources for his or her information? Folks, if the reporter consistently leaves out his sources, beware. This is a huge, huge red flag. And this guy left out his sources right and left. If he had had solid, reputable sources, you know that he would have put them in the article. He would have stated it, but he did not. Folks, I remember my senior year at Wheaton. There was a book that I'd heard about all four years while I was there. A lot of my friends had read it. A lot of people said it was a great book. It's called Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger by Ron Sider. Now, I was a little skeptical, but I wanted to be open-minded. So I picked it up one day my senior and started reading it. After the first two chapters, I put it down and never opened it again. Do you know why? He didn't give his sources of information. And if he doesn't give his sources of information, I don't know if he's right or not. He may be trying to be right, but I don't know that he's right. I don't know how good his skills are as a writer and how well he does at doing his research and getting his facts right. And there's no way for me to verify that if he doesn't give his sources. And folks, that told me all I needed to know. I've never gone and picked up the book again. Now then, here's the third question you need to ask. What is the other side of the story? In Proverbs 18:17 says, there are two sides to every story. The first person who speaks sounds true until you hear the other side and they set the record straight. Folks, after the article was printed, the same day, the President Ryken of Wheaton College issued a statement giving you the other side of the story. As Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Now then, if you read the article, I would definitely, and you haven't read Dr. Ryken's response, I suggest you go read Dr. Ryken's response as well. He directly refutes parts of the article, and he calls other parts into question, and he refers you to other information, you know, such as the Wheaton College Statement of Faith, that every administrator and every professor is required to sign every year, and the Community Covenant. Folks, in light of reading the other side in this case, I am far from convinced that everything that the reporter said was entirely false. However, I am convinced that some of it was false, completely false, and therefore I cannot accept anything that he says as truth. I can't do it without further research. You see, if a person is willing to lie to me once, they're willing to lie to me again. We all know that is true. Now, fourth, here's the fourth question. It won't apply to every article. It will apply to a lot of articles. What do the leaders say? You see, in the case of a Christian college or any Christian organization, always distinguish between leadership and the rank and file, between the administration and department chairs and the individual professors. You see, leaders determine the trajectory of an organization. If you want to know the future direction, of a Christian organization, listen very, very closely to what the leaders say and what they don't say. Now, in light of that, did this specific article ever quote any of the leadership at Wheaton? The answer is no. He only referred to professors. He never even mentioned a single department chair. There is not a single leader in the Wheaton community that is quoted or referred to. That should tell you something. Now, on the other hand, when this reporter did refer to specific professors, he kind of de facto made it seem like They were representing the entire college. Folks, an individual professor does not represent the entire college. Maybe the reason some of these specific professors are still teaching is because they have tenure. Did you know that it's virtually impossible to fire a professor who has tenure? It is. I saw a lot of this when I was at Wheaton. The college would have loved to have fired a few of the professors they had, but they had tenure, and so they couldn't. So folks, never assume any individual professor or rank and file person speaks for the institution. That's what the leaders do. Now then, I have no doubt that some of the professors at Wheaton College have gone rogue. No doubt whatsoever. That was the case when I was there. And folks, there's nothing new under the sun. It's still true. I have no doubt about it. Always distinguish between the leadership and the individual professors. When leadership stays the course, that's not a guarantee, but it makes a huge difference. But when leadership strays off course, now we're in deep trouble. Always look at what the leadership says and does. Now, as far as I can tell, the leadership at Wheaton College is still focused on its historical mission. It is not a perfect institution. I know that from personal experience. But folks, when you read articles like this one that came out last week, don't believe them until you've asked some tough questions. Now, P.T. Barnum is purported to have said, there are two types of people in the world, con men and suckers. Thank God for the suckers. Folks, you can be shrewd as Jesus commanded, or you can be a sucker. It really is your choice. My dad often said the hardest part of his job as the president of Campus Crusade for Christ was getting good information. On a much smaller scale, that's the same challenge for you and for me every day, isn't it? But God's advice to you is this. Be as shrewd as a serpent. But folks, you can only do that if you ask good questions and get both sides of the story before you make up your mind. Too much gossip gets passed around every day under the guise of news. So if you're a Christian, quit spreading gossip. God says it's still a sin. God is the issue in every issue, especially when it comes to being shrewd about the news. This is Brad Bright. Thanks for joining me today. If you found this podcast helpful, please like, subscribe, or share it. And God bless.